Back on downtown, time for Message in the Bottle. Brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street, downtown Bangor. Eric Meehan joining us this afternoon. Good day, sir.
Oh, yeah, because you just can't get enough. Love it. My wife would love it even more. Well done, sir.
Well, I mean, I'm thinking of the Meehan family here.
That's what I'm doing. Hey, listen, before we start, speaking of thinking of people and places and things, anyone out there who cares about anything, give $5, $10, whatever you can afford to the Penobscot Theater Company today. They're having the Day of Giving. It is crucial that we keep culture. I promise. I know sometimes it seems like it's irrelevant. It is not. So please, anybody out there who has not taken the opportunity to give whatever you can give. I know times are tough. Believe me, they're tough for us too. We gave what we could give. Please do so. Thank you.
Well said, sir.
Right. Thank you. Moving on. Yes, my Phillies are doing well. I'm unaware of any other sports currently. Sure. At some point I'll become reaware. All I know is that apparently my new wide receiver is already getting in gambling trouble. I'm like, please stop. It's okay. It's okay. Suspensions are part of life, right?
Sure, sure. Yeah.
Sure, right. And apparently there's basketball happening as well. Actually, it's been a lot of fun watching basketball, but of course I've been watching women's basketball. It's actually much more educational than mm-hmm. somebody's trying to teach young people like my son how to play basketball. So, where are we? We're talking about, oh, right, today is Hearty Burgundy Day.
Mm.
It's Hearty Burgundy Day. We're working through appellations and things like that. And so this is the time we'll just sort of, I'll sort of crash through stuff that everybody has heard already, but we're going to do it anyway. Everything goes back to the French. Everything specifically kind of goes, I mean, of course it goes back farther, and we will get there, and we have gotten there. Obviously, Eastern Europe, the passage to the Middle East, this is where wine originated, right? I mean, I'm not kidding anyone. I mean, you can find these beautiful ancient caves where there are winemaking devices of you know, carved out of the very living rock. But the people who sort of codified what we know as modern appellations and wine growing were the monks in and around Burgundy. The evidence of planting there is ancient as well. Evidence goes back to the second century, but everybody sort of believes it probably went back to the BC area, BC era rather. Or whatever it is, common era, whatever it is these days that's politically correct. But basically, they've been planting grapes in the Burgundy area for time. Around 1000 AD, the Benedictines were the largest landholders. But gradually, the people who got the vineyards and who started keeping records were these Cistercian monks, so a different sect of Catholicism, who you know followed the teachings of Cathal and all of his supporters. Obviously, and this is said with you know tongue in cheekism, but you know we owe an awful lot to these religious orders who basically defined and codified gluttony. Thank you. this is the truth. I mean, let's be honest. These are the first people who really had the leisure to plant and eat and sort of feed off the land and off the backs of peasants in ways that they started writing down. As glib as that sounds, they really started like recording, like, hey, this is good, this is bad. A lot of recipes come from that era. So the Cistercians were the first people who ever created the first known, and I'm sure, again, going back to, you know, ancient history, we don't know all these things, but the first known walled-in vineyard that was, you know, like, this is this thing, and we are walling it in forever and ever, amen. It's called Clos de Vougeot, and anybody out there with a hideous amount of money has perhaps had some, and mere mortals like us, it's harder to come by. It's very expensive, obviously, but the historical importance is obvious. And if you go to Burgundy, you will see a lot of you know, these walled in vineyards because they said this is this and this is this and this is this. Sort of actually, for anybody who's practical, makes you think like, well, if you didn't have all the walls, you'd probably have room for a couple more vines. But that's just me. Regular people, the rest of us, started classifying these vineyards in, you know, in books, literature, etc., as early as the mid-1800s. But the current appellation system in France, Appellation Origine Contrôlée, which is terrible French. I apologize. I actually speak French, but not very well today, apparently. This was not formalized until the late 30s, actually. So we're talking, you know, a little under 90 years at this point. So it's really, it's fairly recent. So why? Why did these things happen, and why do they continue to happen? Why do we continue to care? Well, obviously, agriculture. I mean, why is one plot of land determined to be better than other plots of land? Orientation to the sun, the moon. Obviously, subsoils are extraordinarily important. I will remind everybody out there that vines like struggle. They don't want particularly fertile land. So as we're talking about Burgundy, I'll happen to mention that it is a river valley, but the vines are nowhere near the river, because the river valley, of course, as anybody who knows river valleys, tends to be flat land with meandering river, which basically has over the millennia carved out this very sort of fertile flat area, which is great for grains and other things like that, but it's not so good for making a plant struggle. So that's originally why people started planting vines and other things that like that. And then, of course, as they struggle, they sink their roots really deep down into the whatever it is, right? So, and it could be a lot of things, right? It could be volcanic soil. It could be chalk. It could be limestone. It could be schist and granite, all sorts of things. And the mineral influences from these varying soils, and also the, sometimes the lushness or the harshness or the whatever is imbued through the waters that come through there, and get themselves as part of the solids of that grape. Of course, most of the solids in any grape are sugar, but there are other little bits and things that influence the thing. So, of course, I don't need to tell you as we're going to wrap up here in a couple minutes. You're saying to yourself, Eric, look at climate change. How are these historical records relevant? Good question. And I don't really have an answer. I increasingly think they're not relevant. I think really the question is, who is continuing to make good wines and where? And anybody who is still planting in traditional areas and not looking higher up on slopes, where it is obviously cooler and ripening will take longer, i.e. how it used to, is foolish. And in fact, just recently I had a Burgundy producer in the store, and they were saying, well, we have vineyards here and here and here, and it goes up to the top of the slope. I'm like, cool. Is anybody trying to plant above you on that slope? And they're like, what? I'm like, you know what I'm talking about. Is anybody trying to plant above you on that slope, which used to be deemed bad and now is probably, or is it because we have these historic records that, it's not worth anything? I'm like, okay, well, that might be really dumb. there's a history of, before they had these sort of warming problems, they had cooling problems. So back in the day when they couldn't get ripe anywhere, they would do things like add sugar in the middle of the night to their things, which is called chapitalization, by the way, which is completely illegal in most decent wine growing areas, to boost alcohol content, things like that. So now they have basically the exact opposite problem. And I think it really worries a lot of people in the middle of the night, because they're like, they keep charging hideous prices, but at some point in the near future, it's going to be a problem. And certainly down in other places where it's much hotter and drier, south of France, parts of the southern hemisphere, you know, especially when water is becoming scarcer and scarcer, things are looking dire. So, you know, does Appalachian matter? Yeah, it absolutely matters. But do things need to change, and are things going to change inevitably? Yeah, probably as well. So that probably educated nobody to anything, but that's my word, and I'm sticking to it. All that said, yeah, next week we'll talk a little bit more about the old world and new world, and how new world planters treat Appalachians and how they're dealing with climate change and things like that as well. In the meantime, like I said, give generously to the PTC if you can. And, yeah, I'll talk to you all next week.
That sounds great. Thank you, Eric. See you then.
Thanks, Rich.
That's Eric Meehan, Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, Message in the Bottle, every Tuesday.